Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Maddie Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Hey, all three of the Common Fans were traveling for some portion of the Memorial Day weekend or sort of that week after. And so we did not get an episode out last week. Oh, I want to apologize for that first and foremost. That's very rare for us. We try to do an episode at least once a week. Excuse me, I had a little cough there. Yeah. We try to do an episode at least once a week. So apologize that we didn't get an episode out last week. But you know what? It's good. Even the common fans need a break sometimes.
Everybody
you
know? Needs a little break.
Everybody needs a little break.
Take a little break sometimes.
Yeah.
I actually spent some time in the good life with family, which was lovely. Saw a ton of family, which was great. Matty O took his boys to a couple of games at Busch Stadium in St. Louis, which not the choice I would have made, but I love the family time, love baseball. So, you know, we'll still celebrate it. And then, as you can see, Geoff and Lincoln is still enjoying a vacation. Where are you, Geoff? South Dakota?
Yeah, I'm in beautiful, beautiful South Dakota this time of year. If you can't,
what is it?
You can't tell. Beautiful.
Is that North Central Kansas? What is that?
We're in the desert, Tucson, Arizona. And this behind me is the Catalina foothills. Beautiful country out here.
Well, it nice looks. Mountain. Yeah. I hope you
put up, make sure you wear sunscreen out there, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm don't worry. I'm fine, guys. I'll be safe. I promise.
SPF 50 at least for you, especially.
Yeah, we do.
That's really, as you know, it gets really hot down there, really powerful sun, and you are one of the whitest people I know.
Yeah,
so we gotta put the sunscreen on. All right, we got a really fun episode today, common fans. In our very first episode, we outlined some rules to live by, some guiding principles of the Common Fan Podcast, whatever you want to call them. You can find those guiding principles, those rules, on the Common Fan website, www.commonfan.co. You should go to the Common Fan website anyway. You can sign up for the free newsletter, subscribe on YouTube, access all of our episodes, access all of our written content, etc. And you want to subscribe now. Well, it's a little bit slower when it comes to college football, so you can be ready for the season. All right. So go to commonfan.co and explore all the common fans have to offer. But if you scroll down a little bit, you'll see I hope people pick up on this. It's a clipboard, right? Like a coach. It's a clipboard listing the five common fan rules or guiding principles. So we've got a lot of new listeners since that first episode. And so it's kind of fun. It might be kind of fun. I thought it might be fun to revisit them. And several of them apply to the episode we're going to do today. So today's episode, we're going to talk about ours and some of our friends and listeners' most extreme, over the top, biggest reactions to a Nebraska football game. And when we first conceived of this episode, I think everyone's mind goes to your biggest meltdown after a loss, but it's been heartening, I would say, that some of the examples that were sent in were excitement after a win. So we're going to talk about both. We're going to talk
those
about
are the
both,
best
right?
ones. Those
are the best ones, right? But the Common Fan rules, number one, is all Husker football all the time. That is our commitment to you, Husker Nation, that other fan podcasts or other podcasts can talk about the other Nebraska sports. We're certainly fans of the other Nebraska sports, but part of our motivation for doing this was when the crazy Nebraska football fans like us out there are hankering for Nebraska football content in February or May or whatever it is, the dog days of summer, we're going to be here to help with that. So all Husker football all the time is number one. Number two applies directly to today's episode. We don't judge. Okay. And we've talked about this, a running theme on the podcast. If you punch the couch after a bad call, if you threw your hat after a turnover or a sack given up or something like that, you know what? This is a safe place for you.
You're okay. It's okay.
You're okay. You're okay by us.
Not your fault.
You're okay by us. Number three, we're here to help you fan. We've tried our best to do that. Number four, all Common Fans welcome. That's why Jeff's on the show.
You know, yeah. Jeff, yeah. That's why I'm here.
All are welcome.
All types of fans are welcome, whether you can name the third string center on the 1989 team, or if maybe you just kind of tune in closer to football season, whatever it might be, whatever part of this, whether you went to the university or not, whether you grew up in Nebraska or not, all Common Fans are welcome on this show. And then the last one is no apologies. And I feel like that that applies to this episode as well. Whether Nebraska football made you shed a tear, whether it made you put your hand through some drywall, whatever it is, you don't have to apologize. Not on this show. Not on this show.
Not with us.
Not with us. Not with us. You don't have to apologize with us. So let's jump right into it, guys. We put the Clarion call out on Twitter, and we also just put a call out to our buddies for some examples, and then we have our own stories as well. And so there's no right way to do this. This is a random order. I think the first one we'll start with is the first response we got. Was from our buddy JW, says 2004 against Texas Tech, we lost 70-10. I think a lot of college fans remember that. That was the Bill Callahan era for those people. He said, JW says, I burned my season tickets in the driveway along with a few Husker hats and shirts. I respect that. I appreciate that. Absolutely. Absolutely. No judgment on that one. This one made me wonder. He went on to say, it still pisses me off. This one made me wonder, how many times has that happened since probably the Callahan era, where Husker fans say we've talked about it on this show, like we need some sort of like cleansing process. Yep. We need some sort of ritual ceremony,
yes,
to try to right the ship for Nebraska football. I'll bet JW is not the only one to have done that.
And clearly we haven't found the right one yet, because it's still happening from time to time. So
can we get our hands on, can we get some voodoo dolls?
Putting it out there,
Common Fans, do you have anyone that might be able to make us a few voodoo dolls? We'll get one.
We haven't thought of one yet.
We'll get one of just the various
coaches. Yeah, definitely
sure one
PJ.
Of Kirk Ferentz. Yeah. For sure one of PJ.
Ferentz,
we need some voodoo dolls. Hook it up, Common Fans. Just
help us out. Yeah. CommonFanGBR@gmail.com if you know where to
get a good voodoo doll.
Point us. I thought this was funny. Nicholas Ryan, a dear friend of ours, just responded, the 2010s. And to clarify, I said, no, well, we're kind of looking for like a specific example of a specific game where maybe you melted down. He just wrote back, the 2010s.
It's been a rough decade.
So, you know, Nick was on his own journey, I think, in the 2010s. There's a lot going on there. And I think we can all relate to that as sure. well. So this one was kind of funny. Paul Jay, another friend of the program, friend of ours, September 16th, 2006. I didn't fact check this. We played USC in 06 and 07, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought they
07, 08, I think. Because 08 was the year that.
No, that 08 would have been Pelini.
08 was Pelini's first. Yeah, 06, 07.
So he, but he says they came to Lincoln in 06. I thought they came to Lincoln in 07.
I think it was 07. Anyway,
whatever. We're not questioning, you know, whatever it was. USC comes to Lincoln. I'm pretty sure this was 07 because it was like Callahan was coming off a pretty good year in 06, and we won the division in 06, and coming into 07, like the USC game was supposed to put us on the map, and the USC was really good. Yeah. Anyway, everything about that game was supposed to get us back in the national spotlight. As you all know, we royally shit the bed. Back then, I chewed a lot of tobacco. I was so incredibly pissed off about our performance. I took my can of Skol Mint, threw it out the window of my apartment, and haven't had a dip since. That day will live in infamy. So,
silver lining. Good job, PW.
Good and bad.
You know, still hurts. Still makes us angry. But he doesn't chew anymore. That's great.
Yes, there you go.
That's grateful.
So, in a moment where he was feeling very vulnerable and very down, he actually triumphed.
That's a Husker miracle.
He was really down and out, and he used it for good.
Hit rock bottom.
That's exactly right. one more from our group of buddies. I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but this is kind of the way back machine. This one for common fans of a certain age, this one will always pull at the heartstrings. JW brought it up, but then we had another contribution on this topic. But JW says Byron Bennett missing the kick against Florida State messed me up quite a bit when I was 11 or 12. Was inconsolable, cried the entire night. I mean, that one, I can, you know, that's the one, you know, exactly where you were. I can still see it. You know, there's so many bad calls that went against Nebraska that night, College Football Industrial Complex.
Yes.
In full force that night to hand the win to Charlie Ward and Bobby Bowden.
And that game there was a fumble at the goal line that they called a touchdown, and it was clear the ball was, that, it was William Floyd, I think, was the Florida State fullback.
The clipping call on Corey Dixon.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much stuff that
we're like 10 or 11 years old. Like, that's prime. Like, if your team loses, you cry. Like, that's what you do.
Well, here's what I love, though. So then T. Roy, another friend, shares this. And this resonated with me because, that, you know, it's one of our friends' dads, but it now, like, would be us, right? Like, so it's where we are now, right? And he says, I remember that same FSU game like it was yesterday. We won't name the family, but it's a friend of all of ours. They had the family over to watch the game. After we missed the kick, Ryan's dad stood up with a tear in his eye and said, "I'm going home."
I thought that was like a funny thing.
So good. I could totally relate. Like, what else do you do?
Yeah.
You know? So
get in the car, kids.
Get family.
Or maybe he didn't get the family.
On your own ride, son.
Maybe he just
ate beers deep. Home. Just hop in.
Eight beers deep and a tummy full of little smokies. Ready to go home and go to sleep.
Just pure from pure elation to just complete and total
raw emotion.
Yeah.
Going
home. Oh my gosh. All right. We also got some contributions on Twitter, but I want to hear your guys' stories next. Let's do our stories next.
So when Rocket Ishmael got the kick return.
No, Jeff, wrong team.
In 1991.
Wrong team, Jeff.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, so that's why I'm different from you guys, because I grew up in a Notre Dame.
Well, there's a lot of reasons for that.
Yeah, anyway, there's a lot of reasons. You're right. But that's one of the reasons. I never really got like super emotional because my parents didn't. Like, we were watching Notre Dame games. I never really cried about stuff like that, like you guys did. But I will say that I've been around enough Husker fans that I've seen a lot of different reactions. And the first one was at my wife, Ashley, was telling me she thought this episode was a great idea. And because she grew up in a big time Husker house, her dad, huge Husker fan, and he listens to the podcast all the time. Shout out to Bob.
Friend of the program.
Yeah, friend of the program. But she remembers back in the Orange Bowl, was that 1995, that
it was definitely not 95, Jeff. We played lots of Orange Bowls. Well, I guess it would have been January 94 season. January 95. Yeah.
Sorry. And he was so excited after a win that he was jumping up and down, and like it's a basement ceiling, so it's super low. And he's a pretty tall guy. He's over 6 foot, but he put his head through the ceiling. And even though he did, he kept doing it. Like he was that excited that he wouldn't stop. And he didn't care. So he just kept putting his head through the ceiling. And like a good example was the kids, all the kids that were over there, the cousins, the daughters, thought he injured himself. So they're crying out of sheer fear. Yeah. I think he's probably crying out of tears of joy. And that's how excited that like that family would get about a Husker win, is literally jumping so high, putting their head through the ceiling. So that's a good example of Husker joy.
Respect to Bob for that.
Absolutely.
Shout out, Bob.
But then on the opposite end of that spectrum, I've hung out with you guys. I've seen the way that you've reacted to wins and losses. But I think a good example that I think gets lost in the shuffle was I went to North Platte to a bar for Ashley's 10-year high school reunion. And we were watching, I think you guys will have to correct me on this. If not, I think it was Iowa State in like the early 2010s, maybe. Does that sound right?
Well, what year did you graduate from high school?
So it would have been probably 2011 then. Yeah, right. Yeah, that would line up. And I remember it was because I think it was Niles Paul broke free for like a huge, huge run after he caught the ball, broke free and inexplicably dropped the ball. Like, do you guys remember this?
Was without this anybody the game that Iowa State won in Lincoln?
Well, yes, we won like 9-7.
We had like 8 turnovers.
Yeah. Yes, that's the game.
I'll look it up. 2011 was our first year in the Big Ten, so it must not have been a 10-year high school. You're conflating the memories, Jeff.
Point being, we were.
That would have been 2009.
Yeah, that's it. You're right. 2009. Nope, you're absolutely right. And nobody even touched him. He just broke free and dropped. Yeah, you're right. We had like 7 or 8 turnovers, and we lost 9-7. But the glaring thing in that game that I just couldn't believe was that was just Nebraska football at that time in a nutshell. Dropping Niles Paul just inexplicably fumbling the ball when he was free to go to the end zone for no reason. Nobody touched him. He just dropped it. And one of Ashley's buddies at the bar pretty much denounced Husker football that day. He's like, I will never watch another Husker football game ever again.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's ever actually watched a game ever since then.
I was going to say, he was back the next week, but maybe not.
I think he put up posts after that saying, like, you can walk away, Husker fans. It's not hard. It can be done. Jeez. You can walk away.
Like, it's only I hope she's no longer friends with that guy, first of all. Second of all,
we give up on life and way to give up on your team, guy.
Yeah. That 09 season, we played for the Big 12 championship. That was the Sioux dominating Texas game. That's the 1 second game that everybody talks about. So, pretty good team
That is the perfect example of extreme emotions kicking in from just one game. I'm never watching this sport ever again. I will not.
If only that guy knew how much worse it would get.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
15 years. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And so then in 2005 with the Bush push against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Time had expired. They put 1 second back.
All right, remove Jeff from the
stage.
There
we go. Removed. Yep.
There we go.
Get him out of here.
He's out of the stage. Cut him off. All right, Jeff, I'm back. You understand?
Sorry. I blacked out for a second.
Okay. Matty, do you want to go next?
Sure. I have a few. Let's start in the way back machine. Because, you know, my reactions and behavior has changed a lot since fatherhood. It's sure. more now it's like, you know, I've never seen the show, but I think it's from Narcos. Or like there's a meme where like I think it's Pablo Escobar's like just standing, like staring out, and then he's like sitting on a swing.
Yep.
Like that's me now. Like I've got kids here and I don't want to be like freaking out. So now it's just like I'll be just like staring off. Yeah. But you know, years ago there was a lot more restraint. Anyway, going to the Wayback Machine, the first one I can really remember was after a win, and it's a classic Husker moment. 1997, Columbia, Missouri, the flea kicker.
Yeah.
Somewhere in either in the fourth quarter or in overtime, when the overtime just started, I said, if we win this game, I'm in my underwear streaking down the street. And I had some friends over, and maybe you guys were there. I don't remember exactly. I remember one of our friends, Rusty, was there. For some reason, I remember him. I remember our friend Rusty was
Rust Oleum, because Rust never sleeps.
Yes.
Sorry, go ahead.
Anyway, long story short, we won the game. I stripped him down. I think a few buddies even joined me. I took the Husker flag and went at least two blocks down the street in my family's neighborhood. 14, 15 years old. Okay.
Wait, that was fall of 97. We were freshmen in high school. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, 97 season. Yeah. So it was the third of the three championships in 4 years. Yeah. Anyway, so long story short, streak down the street with the Husker flag. Great memory. Then we're gonna fast forward a little bit. My freshman year of college. Okay,
things are gonna get a little more serious here.
There's a little more serious, and there's a little bit more adult themes here. not really adult themes. That's the wrong term. My freshman year of college, I'm gonna just put this out there. My freshman year, first semester, I went to the University of Kansas.
What?
Just wanted Why to did you just say this?
What did you just say to me?
You know what? I eventually saw the light. It only took one semester to get me out of there.
Oh, okay.
But I had a bunch of friends come down for the KU-Nebraska game.
Sure.
Okay, sure, so we're all 19 freshmen in college, no adult supervision, all that stuff. Anyway, game was at like 6 p.m., so not good right off the bat. The game's at 6 p.m., and I've got all these buddies in Lawrence, Kansas that were
hanging out. And you got all day.
We've got all day. Anyway, as you do in college.
You got all day, and you got nothing to do and all day to do it.
Yeah. You get your hands on some adult beverages. You're 19. Let's just be real. Everybody, it happens, okay? Anyway, I was overserved. Not my fault. I was overserved. Somebody else made me do it.
That's right.
Anyway, long story short, the game was just a blowout. I mean, Kansas was terrible at the time. I think we won like 45-7 or something. I think it was Crouch. It was the Crouch season. It was 2001, right? Anyway, all my friends are there. We go. We're hanging out. Somehow we get separated. Get a call from another buddy. Hey, we're fighting with these frat guys. Everybody's fighting. And I'm like, what? So I wrote down, figure out where they're at. And I mean, I come running up, and sure enough, there's like a brawl going on. I come running in my Birkenstocks and just start swinging away.
Hold on. And were you wearing socks with your Birks?
No.
Okay. Great.
Thank God. Actually, it would have been better if I did.
Long story short, you're in there mixing up. It's all a blur. I get thrown to the ground, and it's the Lawrence, Kansas Police Department. And next thing you know, I'm on the ground on my stomach, got a knee in my back, and I'm sitting in a cop car. Me and one other guy, the only two, one of the frat boys, me and that guy, the only two that got cuffed. And it was the only time I ever ever went to jail, 19 years old, Douglas County, Kansas. It's probably public record if you want to go on, if you take the time to look on their records back in probably September, October of 2001. Not super proud of it, but that's pretty extreme. Directly related to the game, but.
How long did you have to spend in the clink?
It was a few hours. A previously mentioned buddy, Nicholas Ryan, was my one phone call, and he came
down. Shout out to NRP.
Yeah, I'll never forget that. He was ready to answer. He was ready to come get me right away. So didn't have to spend too long in there. Thank God.
Love that.
Lawrence, Kansas, beautiful community. Still got some weirdos in the jail.
A
lot of strange things being shouted in the cells. anyway, the last one, we're going back to the Bill Callahan era again. There's a lot of these in the Callahan era. Cotton Bowl. Philly C's one like really good year. We made it to the Cotton Bowl. Remember this? So we played Auburn in the Cotton Bowl. It was like an 11 a.m. kick. Well, didn't go to the game, but had a bunch of friends over. I think people showed up at like 8 a.m. or something. Anyway, as tends to happen, I was overserved again. I'll be damned if I wasn't overserved. I don't know why
these keep doing this to me. Who are these people that are overserving you? This is ridiculous. No,
I was overserved.
It's not your fault.
Anyhow, we lost the game. I think we played Auburn pretty tough. I don't remember. It's like it was a one score game, I think. Anyway, we lost, and somewhere along the lines, I don't know what happened. I fell asleep. And I woke up, and it was the third quarter of the Rose Bowl. It turned out I had passed out on my stomach on the living room floor, and it was just unfortunate because I was really looking forward to the Michigan. I think it was Michigan USC Rose Bowl.
Sure it was.
And a co-ed, a very attractive co-ed that used to hang around with me and my buddies back in the day. Like, this is before, like, now people catch everything on camera, on pictures and video and everything. This was like the beginning of that, right? The gal took a video of me laying face down, only to wake up and go, "What's the score to the Rose Bowl?" It's 21-14, and then I just put my head back down on the floor. I'm blaming Bill Callahan and those, what would that be, 2005 Huskers? I'm blaming them for doing that to me. It was an embarrassing moment. I wasn't proud of my actions, but there's my third extreme. Everything else beyond there, pretty tame. There's some couch punching.
Yep.
A hat.
Yep.
There was one bad hat throw. One bad hat throw. It was maybe 2013, 14. I remember we played at Michigan State and we had Amir Abdullah and there was a really disappointing loss. And that was like the last bad hat throw I had where my wife was like, "Hey, you have little kids now," and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. The 2014 game, because that Husker team was good. We started 8-1 before the meltdown to Wisconsin and the one loss was to Michigan State. Mm-hmm. And we got down by, I think, two or three scores, but we made a frantic comeback and we had the ball late. Within one score, and Tommy threw a pick. I think it was.
That was probably when I threw
my hand. Yep.
Yeah. So there's a little bit the common theme there being overserved a little bit. I don't want the common fans to think less of me, but I think that happens to a lot of us common fans.
Well, especially in our younger days, a lot of those stories you're in your 20s, and you grow out of that to some extent. Yeah. No, those are great stories, both of you. The one that comes to mind for me. The worst one, probably. It wasn't that bad, I don't think. And I
know what you're going to
say. It really wasn't my fault, actually.
None of these are our fault.
common theme here. So for me, it was the 2015 Wisconsin game.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone, all with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
So 2015 was the first year of Mike Riley. And, little did we know at the time, but the one score gut punch losses that came to define that season, we were only getting started with those. Little did we know. So we came in, I should look this up because it matters, but it was Paul Chryst's first year as Wisconsin's head coach. And so, I mean, if you think about it, I hate giving them too much credit, but if you think about the Badgers, like, they've had some pretty dang good teams in this century, right? Yeah. I mean, they were, I feel like, regularly competing for the Big Ten, and off usually not only in the top 25, usually in the top 15, but this was like not one of their best teams, right? Because it was Paul Chryst's first year coaching transition. All right. So the Huskers, we started, that would put us at 2-2. We started 2-4, then we beat Minnesota to go to 3-4. And then we lost two more. Wait, hold on. Sorry. The Wisconsin game was one of those. So we started 2-3 going into that Wisconsin game. That's what it was. So we lost to BYU on the Hail Mary.
Ugh.
We beat South Alabama. We lost to Miami in overtime. Remember that one?
Yep.
We beat Southern Miss, only 36-28. A little bit uncomfortable there.
Mm-hmm.
Then the game. So at that point, we're 2-2. The game before the Wisconsin game was at Illinois. We are up 13-0 going into the fourth quarter. It was ugly. It was a windy night in Champaign, Illinois. I think it was a Friday night game. But there's no reason. Like, we're getting out of there with the W, right? Okay, and then Illinois scores to make it 13-7, but it's really, really late. We got the ball. We're feeding a steady diet of Andy Janovich, if I recall correctly. We get a few first downs. It's very, very late. There's like a minute left. And on 3rd and 7, and I don't think Illinois had any timeouts left. On 3rd and 7, for reasons passing understanding, we throw a pass.
Yeah.
And it was an incomplete pass, but it stopped the clock. I think it was a pass to Terrell Newby, if I recall correctly. Maybe it was Tommy Armstrong. Riley said after, like, the way it was like a run pass option play, and the way that he called the play, it was supposed to be a run. But you've got to, like, have, like, first year head coach, quarterback in a new system. I just feel like you're better just off safe. Just hand it off. Leave no doubt. Right. Yeah. We're not putting this on Tommy is what I'm saying. I don't think Riley at the time was necessarily trying to do that, but so anyway, worst case, you hand it off, you don't get the first down, but you can run the clock down to like 20 seconds and then punt it. And there's almost no chance, but instead we punt it and Illinois has a minute. And they go all the way down the field because that defense was not very good. They go all the way down. Actually, I don't think it was bad in 2015, but whatever. We go all the way down the field to score. So we're like, we lose that game in just painful, awful fashion. And they're 2-3. And again, this is Riley after the Pelini era. So while we had been through some rough times with Callahan, we felt like Pelini had reset the bar.
Right.
We're on a higher plane, a different tier where our expectations could be back higher, right? This is before the last 10 years of Nebraska football. And so going into this Wisconsin game, it was just like, Wisconsin, like we had the 2012 Big Ten championship game, the 2014 blowout. So there's a little bit of already, like, they're lurking, they're living in our heads a little bit already, but it's like, this team isn't that great. Paul Chris first year, like, we should be able to beat this team. But I'm like, there's a lot of internal turmoil going on here. There's a lot just balled up inside of me going into this game. And it feels like we absolutely cannot lose this game. We have to win this game. Jeff, it feels like the wind's picking up. Could you mute yourself, please?
Oh, you seem a little on edge now.
No, that's not it. And so, and I just had this, like, so only one of my three children existed at the time. Michael Boy, who's 10 now, was not quite a year old. And I didn't go anywhere. I didn't have friends over. It was just me and Sal and Michael Boy at the house. And we're living in DC. So we're in this small little, you know, condo townhouse thing that we lived in. And I just remember, like, multiple times throughout that game, just like smacking the floor, you know? And like one time I smacked the floor. And then as I was standing up, kind of lost my balance and slammed against the wall. You know, it might have been a little bit over the top, but I wasn't drinking too much or anything. It was just pure, raw emotion. Okay. And then you guys remember this, with about three minutes and change left in the game, hand it to Andy Janovich up the middle, and he springs for like a 50 or 40 or 55 yard touchdown.
Yeah, whatever it was electric.
It was to take the lead, right? Mm-hmm. And Memorial Stadium's going crazy. And I was Michael's in his high chair. I'm feeding Michael at this point while watching the game. And I just jump up. I'm running around the house, smacking the wall or the ceiling or whatever it was, and just going absolutely nuts. And of course we would go on to lose that game on a last second field goal.
Yeah, of course.
The Badgers. But before the game ended, after my jubilant reaction to the Andy Janovich touchdown, there's a knock on the door. And it's we lived in Arlington, Virginia at the time, outside of D.C. And it's in Arlington County or City of Arlington, whatever it was, police officer.
APD.
Yeah, police officer. And he just says, you know, got a call.
Everything going okay here, sir?
Yeah, I did. Everything okay? And I was just like, yeah, just watching the Nebraska.
Me and my small son.
Yeah, my dear son, my baby boy, watching the Nebraska Wisconsin. Were you watching the game, sir? It's a great game. So lucky for me, at that time, I had been going to CrossFit. There was a CrossFit, they don't call them gyms, they call them boxes. There was a CrossFit box across, like, walking distance from where we live, basically. And I recognized this fine public safety officer from CrossFit. Wow. And so I was like, oh, wait, don't you go to CrossFit across the street? He's like, oh, yeah. And I was like, hey, do you want to come in for a beer? He's like, no. And so we were able to defuse the situation. He could see that I was an upstanding father and husband and contributing member of society. So he just asked me to keep it down.
An unhinged Esker.
Asked me to keep it down and went on his way. But I will say, like, that was probably the beginning of a stretch of my wife kind of looking at, and I've told you guys this, like, my wife went to the University of Oregon. She loves college football. Like, she's a cool chick in that way, if you will. Like, she loves watching her Ducks, and she usually knows kind of like what's going on, like the big picture themes, who's good in college football. Like, she's not obsessed like we are, but like, she likes college football.
Yeah.
But like, that was sort of the beginning of a stretch of, like, there was one point in about around that time when she told me I was ruining college football for her because of my emotional reactions. emotional reactions to Nebraska games. And then as we had more kids and the kids got older, it got more and more stern.
Yeah.
Like, I remember the COVID year, been a hell of a year for everybody, and shit was still, especially in Oregon where I live, stuff was closed down for longer than probably other places. So one fall Saturday, we were like, let's get out of here. Let's get out of the house. And we got a cabin, there's this place not too far from outside of where we live. This has like, it's a resort, but it's really like sprawling, lots of trails, lots of nature. Sure. You can get a little cabin. Beautiful. Or a little place. So we just like, let's get away. And that was the Nebraska Northwestern game in the COVID year. I don't know if you guys remember that, but we totally shouldn't have lost that game. There was a drive. McCaffrey was leading a drive, and we were about to score, and the ball like bounced off of Northwestern's player's helmet, and they ended up intercepting it. Yeah. That game was full of moments like that, and we ended up losing. But that was another one where I like dropped to my knees on one of those plays and just like do one of these on the floor, just like both hands smacking the floor.
Primal.
Yeah, right.
Screaming.
And that was at that point, Charlotte wasn't around yet, but both boys were around in 2020. Michael would have been, they were like 6-3-ish. And so they're both like paying attention more, and like they were fine, but they were a little like, they were like, what is Dad doing?
Yeah.
And that was like, that was one of those where my, like, Sal was a little less forgiving and a little more like, you're a grown adult. You need to stop this.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I've gotten it under control significantly since that time, but there have definitely been plenty of those moments. And the last one I'll say, this isn't really probably one of my most egregious, I this is an example of how we react now that we're in our 40s and our kids are a little bit older and we've been chastised by our wives multiple times.
You have to excuse yourself from the room. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. Well, no. But so this year, just the 2024 Iowa game, when we blow a 10-point halftime lead suddenly, but still it's 10-10 and we have the ball with less than a minute to go. For the second year in a row, it's a tie game. We have the ball with less than a minute to go. So you're thinking worst case scenario, overtime. And of course, in both games, we turn it over and Iowa kicks a field goal in regulation to win it. Like, I still can't believe I'm saying those words. But so right after Raiola was strip sacked, like basically like he fumbled the ball and Iowa got the ball. It was before they kicked the game winning field goal, but you knew exactly where it was going at that point. I was very restrained. and like my whole family's watching the game. And I remember I just like looked at my wife like helplessly, like I was bleeding out or something. I just said, this should be impossible. Like, I remember those, I said those things like second year in a row. It should have at least gone to overtime. And I just, this should be. And she looked at me this time I kept it together. And she looked at me just like with these like helpless, like, I'm sorry. Like sometimes we'll razz each other because my wife's a Duck and I'm a Husker, and we'll razz each other about each other's teams.
Sure.
Or like, you know, I let her know about it when Nebraska recently beat Oregon in the Big Ten baseball tournament. Like we do that playfully, but this time she could see that I was dying, inside.
The anguish, great words.
Yeah. And she had no words. She had no words. But it's just, it's this team that we love does incredible things to us.
Yeah. What do you say to somebody that just is repeatedly kicked in the groin by their favorite team?
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. I got a few more. I want to give a shout out to everybody who responded on Twitter, because we got some good ones. Okay.
Yes.
All right, Joe Ritz, longtime friend of the program, early listener.
Joe Ritz knows
the day one.
He had a couple of examples. First one was at the Colorado versus Nebraska game in Colorado. I assume this was 2023, maybe 2019. Was it 2019? Yeah, 2019. Probably one of those two. No, so it must have been 2019 because we lost in OT. Lost in OT. Not embarrassing or a meltdown, but I didn't talk to anybody or say a single word for the next 2 hours. I think we can all relate to that.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, you're the guy at the bar and you're just like sipping on your beer and you're not doing anything crazy, but you just can't do it.
Don't even want to talk about it.
No. And I love this one. We'll go back. Well, let's take it back positive for a little bit. After Nebraska beat, this is Joe Ritz's words. We respect higher education on this program, of course. After Nebraska beat the Northwestern nerds via Hail Mary, I stood on my friend's counter and tried ripping my shirt down the middle and failed miserably. I think we got to bring up the 2013 Wester catch, which is what he's talking about, because Westy's been on this program and everybody, that's another one of those, everybody knows where they were. I was in the house for that game. And I remember my brother Andy was there.
Where was I?
How about that, Chuck?
My
brother Andy there. And then one of the original best ever Common fans, Nick Burkle, was there. May he rest in peace. But I just remember watching that play unfold. Like, first of all, it was like totally insane.
North end zone?
North end zone, yeah. So we were.
With Jeff.
But I remember, like, it was one of those situations where the lead up to it, like, we converted a fourth down play thanks to an incredible play by Amir.
Yeah.
And like, it was one of those situations where I feel like many times in that situation, you're sort of like, we got no chance. We're going to lose. Like, this sucks, whatever. It was one of those where like, I never really felt that. You could sort of feel something in the air.
Yeah.
Like something crazy might just
I always kind of felt like that with Bo's teams. Like, if it was the first game, Bo's teams always, like, we'd take it to the wire.
Yeah.
If not, take the lead late. But.
And then for me, it was like slow motion, like something out of a movie where like Kellogg takes the snap, he rolls out, he kind of like takes a little bit of time, launches the ball. It felt like slow motion, ball gets tipped, Westy comes down with it. And then the sound was so loud, but you know how in a movie they do the kind of whoosh, like where like, which is almost quiet, you know?
Yeah.
That's how it felt. It was almost like out of body experience. Everyone around you is jumping around. I think I was jumping around too, but I can still see two things. I can see my brother Andy jumping up and down, going absolutely nuts. And I can see my dad just turn with this look on his face, like total disbelief.
Yeah.
And then they reviewed it and it was like, there's no way they're like, that was a touchdown. And of course it stood. But that one, I still can never, like every year in November, on the anniversary of that game, there's all kinds of, they show it on Twitter and I can never watch it enough. That one is such a great memory for Husker fans.
Got to be the best finish of a Husker game I've seen in person.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's been
a lot I've watched
on TV, great finishes. I mentioned the flea kicker earlier and streaking down the street, but being in the stadium for the Wester catch is like one of the best memories of being at any Husker game for me. Like, there's like the it's for sure on the Mount Rushmore Because you know, when I was a kid going, it was like we just steamrolled everybody. So it was like, oh, I remember that when Washington State played us to two touchdowns, like that was kind of exciting. But like there all of those memories, or most of those memories for me, are within the last like 15, 16 years, because there was a lot closer game, a lot more close games, and we were kind of teetering on like, oh God, what are we?
You know? I love that. Jeff, anything to add to the Northwestern game? You were there.
So we were in the opposite end zone. So I just remember being there, and like when they hooked that up, like from our vantage point, you didn't know what was happening on that side of the stadium. But I just remembered you just had to rely upon them. Like you were right, TJ. It was like dead silent for a second.
Yeah.
And then you just heard this eruption on that side. And I just looked over, I think he caught it. And then we just based off what everybody else did, we all just started jumping up and down.
So great.
Yeah. It was awesome.
So great.
Yep.
Friend of the program, coach from the BA Coaches Show, submitted one. This is a pretty good one. The Georgia Southern game. We all remember this game, which was kind of embarrassing to say. It was an offensive shootout for both teams.
Yeah.
And this was the one that would ultimately put the nail in the Scott Frost coffin. Says, my wife and I left early that morning to make the game. She had never been first one I was able to make in a while because of coaching duties. Our car broke down on the way.
Oh.
Had my grandparents come switch us cars. And God bless those grandparents, by the way.
Yeah.
True Husker fans there. I love that.
Mm. OG fans.
Mm. Oh, yeah, exactly. And we did everything we could just to make it to the game, because it's Georgia Southern, and damn it, we were going to watch a win, because those are few and far between with Frost as coach. I think that's what we all felt. Like, well, all right, not sure how this one's going to play out for Frost, but at least we get Georgia Southern, and then we have Oklahoma the next week, right?
Yep.
And you know the rest. Just went to my brother's apartment after the game and drank my sorrows away, with my wife saying, why are you so mad? Nebraska loses a lot. So isn't this normal? So she has not attended the game since.
I thought he was saying that was the last time I spoke to her.
Oh, he says, literally my most painful and hurtful game I've ever seen. Can totally relate to that. That's a rough one. I think we got one or two more here. Bob Speck, friend of the program, great regular listener. This is a little bit of the Wayback Machine. He was living in Des Moines in 1996. So all common fans will recall the Huskers won natties in 94 and 95. And I think there was huge expectations for that 96 team. Mm-hmm. That was Frost's first year as quarterback. But
still
I think a lot of
good team.
And it was a very good team. But I think a lot of like the national media and of course Husker fans thought we were just going to keep rolling.
Yeah.
And we had that just bizarre, I think it was like 19-0 loss to Arizona State. Mm-hmm. You know, like
Jake Plummer,
like,
Pat.
We never really made a run, never made it close. Like it was just sort of like, what's going on here? This doesn't happen to Nebraska. Met a bunch of friends at a sports bar to watch NU, ASU, a swift ass kicking by ASU. End of the winning streak. Plus we got to be the center of attention. So it sounds like he was living in Des Moines. So I think at the bar, he got into it with quite a few ISU and Iowa State and Iowa fans who I'm sure were loving every moment of that. But those people know that we went on to have a pretty good season in 96 and then we won another natty in 97. So eat that, Iowa State and Iowa fans.
I think we still went to the Orange Bowl in 96. Didn't we beat Virginia Tech?
I don't remember, Matteo. That's weird. There's so much of 94, so much of 94, 95, and 97 that are like seared into my brain. And at 96, I don't know,
TJ, that's how good we were. It was disappointing to lose like two games in a whole season. That's how good we were.
Exactly. I think that's it for all the examples that were submitted. If you want to share one of your own, common fans, we love talking about the stories.
Funny.
commonfangbr@gmail.com. You can email us there. You can DM us on Twitter. At commonfangbr, I believe, is where you can find us on Twitter. But this has been a thoroughly enjoyable episode, guys. This is what we try to do. I want to get to that, Medio. This is what we try to do on the Common Fan Podcast, where we like to give our take on the most recent news, of course, and we'll cover the season when it's the season. But occasionally, like, we don't need to have the 17th take on the Big Ten versus SEC drama this week necessarily. Right. Or like maybe, sure. I mean, I'm sure we'd have very interesting things to say about that. Don't get me wrong. But occasionally we like to just give the pure fan perspective, right?
Yeah.
So that's a fun one for us as we're gearing up. And we're still working on, it's going to be out probably late June, but we're still working on another summer series like we did The Reckoning last year. Different topic this summer, but we're grinding through those episodes as we're putting out regular episodes as well. And so excited for that. To hit the airwaves later this month. Mattio, what were you going to say?
I was going to say in another kind of a ritualistic ceremonial voodoo seance burning, whatever we want to call it, we could do a like biggest gut punch losses. Cause I feel like I have a couple handfuls of those, not necessarily like could fit here with embarrassing reactions, because my reactions are just afterwards, just depression and just general sadness. Yeah. But like some of the game, I was going through like the list of like some of the games, not only like that have happened, but like I've seen in person that just make you feel like I get a pit in my stomach thinking about some of these games
still
over the years, and just how awful, how gut literally feels like a gut punch.
Well, and there have been so many of them, specifically since the Riley era.
Yeah.
But obviously, even before that, there were more. But like, there have been so many of them.
There's some Callahan era ones, some Pelini era, some Frost era. Like,
yeah. Maybe we want to go there just for purposes of trying to really, really flush it all from the system. I'll go so far sometimes as thinking about those games, and I will like fantasize about like an alternative endings. Yes. I'll be like, if just this one or two things would have gone a little differently, then we win that game. And I like, and then I'll like, it's been like 20 minutes that I've been thinking about it. I'm like, stop thinking about it.
Get it together.
This is like, if this is a movie that you fast forward to like TJ inventing a time machine in his garage, so he can go back and somehow alter history.
Yeah, exactly. Just Michigan State 2021. Just punt the ball to the other side of the field.
But what if the ball was tipped?
Yeah, didn't? Exactly. Oh my gosh. All right. Well, this is a fun one. Common fans. Geoff, enjoy the rest of your time in Tucson.
Yeah.
I will. Gonna be great.
Sunscreen.
How much longer? Lots of sunscreen, buddy. How much longer do you have?
We come back Monday morning, so we got today and tomorrow.
Great. Well, this episode will be released on Monday morning, so you can listen to it on the plane.
There you go. There we go. I was gonna say in 2020 when Notre Dame beat Clemson, I fell down the stairs and I have a scar still, and I had to watch the rest.
All right, removed him from the stage.
There we go.
Yeah, nobody cares, Jeff.
No,
nobody cares, Jeff.
Take that to the Notre Dame podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Ghost Leprechaunos or whatever the name of it is.
You can't see him or hear him, but he's laughing. All right, we'll add him back.
There he goes.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, Jeff, did we cut out?
You cut out there.
The only thing I have to say about that, Jeff, is I'm glad you're okay after falling down the stairs.
I did. I fell down the stairs head first.
Beyond that, nobody cares. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
We love you, Geoff. All right, Common fans. Thanks for hanging with us. We'll be back at you soon. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers.
Bring your number. Not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains June 6th through the 9th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.